Amen. Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. Woo! Oh, y'all can do better than that. Get your Bibles out this morning. Woo! Well, come on. That was off. That was like this side. It was a little better. Let's see if we can get out. Get your Bibles out this morning. Woo! Now, y'all are excited to go to the Word of God this morning. Praise God. And go to the book of James, chapter 1, if you would. I've been preaching this message since the 4th of July. About America, and the title of this message is Give Me Liberty, and I'm really trying to put this together because I want it, first of all, I want it out on the radio, and then also I want to make a tape series of it so it's available for everybody, and then at the end of this message when I get through, because my notes are forever changing here, and I'm going to have all the notes, and so you can have the whatever I preach, the notes off of it, you can have that, that'll be available to you, because I want to get this information out to everyone. About how great this nation is and what God has done and what God intends for each and every one of us. But I want you to look at something this morning before I tear into it. Here in the book of James, chapter 1. And look at verse 5. It says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without a reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, one thing I've learned, if I've learned anything about the Bible and about God and about Jesus, is that we make it complicated. He never intended it to be complicated. Amen. We're the ones that tries to say, well, you know, we get in there and go to trying to analyze everything and figure out how everything is. We're the ones that complicate the matter. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. But then man wants to add on all these other things. Well, yes, you're saved if this or if that, but this and that and the other. And then we get it. We make it complicated. We, humans, do. God never intended to be complicated. His relationship with us was meant to be simple. His relationship with us was meant to be just as he said in his word. If you believe in me, I'll come and live in you. And everybody said, well, we can't do that. Jesus said one day, he said, listen, if you drink my blood and you eat my flesh, then you're saved and I'll come and live with you and the Father will dwell with you. And everybody said, that's crazy talk. That's too hard. We can't understand that. But you see, literally, in their minds, they took it one way and Jesus meant it somewhere else. He meant it another way. He meant, are you here willing to lay down your life and give everything up for him, that he'll give everything, he's giving everything up for you. You see, there's a wisdom that's out in this world. There's a wisdom that's always crying out. The Bible says that wisdom, right there out of James chapter 1, says it's crying out in the streets. It's alive. Proverbs 1 and 2 tells us that it's always shouting in the streets. There's no place you can be in life. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how terrible a situation may be. There is nothing that God does not have godly wisdom to fix it. It's there. It's available to you. And it's free. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to jump through hoops. I saw this clip. It was just a clip on television. I don't even know what it was about. About a guy, I guess he was a stunt man. There had these three rings of fire. And he was on top of the hood of a car. Now, whoever, you know, come up with this has got some problems mentally anyway. And he's on top of the hood of a car and it's going around a racetrack. And he's timing it just right as the hoop is going to pass right over the hood of the car. He jumps and goes, you know, through. And it looked pretty impressive the first time. But then as he jumped, you know, he didn't calculate that the car is moving a little bit faster than he's moving when he jumped. And so when his feet hit the car, you know, he kind of got off balance. Well, here comes the second one. He goes, you know, kind of like this. And by the third one, it catches him right in the feet and rolls him off the back of the car, you know. And I'm like, that's how man is. We try to say, if you can jump through the three fiery rings of God's, you know, scrutiny upon you, and you time it just right, you know, then you can receive the promise. Am I right? Am I preaching good now? I mean, that's what religion wants to do. Say, well, listen, you know, yeah, you know, but you hadn't really lived that good, so make it through the three fiery rings. And it's hard. It's difficult. You may think, some of you, I know, had that thought, I bet I could have done that. There's some of you out here, I know it. You said, I said, if I'd have got, he needed to get farther up on the hood. And then he'd have, yeah. I know y'all. But God never intended that way. He said, look, my wisdom's crying out aloud. My wisdom is crying out. If you will walk in it, it's gonna bless you. It's gonna bless your family. There's wisdom for everything you're going through. It doesn't matter. There's nothing that you can be involved in that there's not wisdom for. I don't care how bizarre it is. I've seen some pretty bizarre things in people's lives. But however bizarre it is, there's wisdom out there. And it's crying out. The Bible says it cries out in the streets. It's available for you. But you got to find it. You got to hear it. You got to listen for it. You got to ask for it. Look what he says here. But let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded man. He's unstable in all of his ways. In other words, one moment you're saying, God, I need your wisdom. The next moment you're saying, well, I think I'm going to do this. How many of y'all have ever had, I know this encompasses everybody in here, but you've had decisions to make before in life. And so you wrote all the pros and all the cons down. Huh? And you said, okay, if I do this, then, you know, this, and this. And if I do that, then it'd be this. And then you think, oh, but what if? And then there's another scenario comes in, right? Okay, all of that is man's wisdom. And your wisdom is only going to be as good as your experience and the information that you have. Right? That's all it's as good as. So there could be somebody that has more natural wisdom than you do because they've already experienced and gone through the situation. Right? But that's not what I'm even talking about. I'm talking about a wisdom that comes from God, that comes through reading His Word, that comes through prayer, that comes through having a relationship with the way things work in life. I'm talking about hearing the wisdom from heaven that would speak to your life that doesn't really make any sense, but God knows when you operate in it, it'll bring you victory. Like, for instance, forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that doesn't naturally go along with the nature of man. Man wants to say when we get into a situation, somebody's done us wrong, that the best is to just, you know, dominate. And God says, no, I want you to forgive that person. I want you to, if your enemy's doing good to you, the enemy's doing evil to you, then do good to him. And you're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. That's because Jesus is trying to get us to understand there's a wisdom that flows out there that if you walk in it, you'll have victory. When the founders began to see what was going on in America and see what was happening and see what was taking place, see what the King of England was doing to us, seeing what was taking on with people, watching what was happening in people's lives, watching all this, they began to seek the wisdom from heaven of what to do. You have to understand something, church. This place you live in called America, there's never been a place like it. Never in the history of the world had there ever been a place set up where people could come and live free. And that people had the authority to rule themselves, not be ruled by a ruler. Never had this taken place. Never was there a place where all that I've been talking about and what I'm going to talk about today had ever come about. It had never been. I believe with all of my heart, and if you read the founders' writings, they'll tell you the same thing, that they heard from heaven about how to have a country, how to organize a country, how to set up a government, how to set everything in its place, that it would be a place that would be operating according to the principles and the laws of God, and that the country would be blessed. If you operate in hate, you're never going to have victory. The Bible says you have to operate in love. Y'all with me? So the founders heard this wisdom. And I've gone over 11 points, I believe. It was last week I stopped. Went over 11 points of 28 that the founders got hold of that said this is God's wisdom speaking to us. And we need to apply it in our country. The 12th one, and I'm just going to go on here this morning because I'm going to try to finish this. The 12th point that the founder said, he says, listen, we have to have a republic. Now, I know that through the 70s and the 80s, they tried to change and say America was a democracy and that we want to have a democracy everywhere, but America is not a democracy. It's not. It's a republic. America was set up and founded. First, they did not want it to be an aristocracy. They didn't want it to be a country ruled by the lineage of family lines. You see, in Europe, even today, they have lords. And if you're born in the right family and you have the right blood, then, you can rule. But if you're not, you're out. And there's no way, no matter how smart you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter how good you are at a certain thing, you can't do it. You're not going to be able to do it because your blood's not royal blood. Well, listen to me. The founders came in and they said, listen, mate, we don't want a system set up like that because we're all under the blood of Jesus. We're under another blood. We're under another covenant. We're under a covenant where men can be everything that they possibly could be if they'll turn to their Creator. And they said, we want out of that system. So they didn't want it to be a country ruled by a lineage of family. They didn't want it to be a democracy because democracy is truly just mass rule. And mass rule doesn't work because if the masses are not in wisdom, and this is what we see happening to us, folks. There's a country song. I usually don't listen to country music, and not that I don't like country music, it's just that I'm never in a place where I listen to a radio. Now that I've been riding my Harley, I turned on the radio and there was this country song on, and it was playing. I can't tell you who it was or what all the words, but I caught this one line in it where it said, "We're country and we pray for peace because we're the ones that always go to war." And I thought, boy, isn't that about the truth? There's always the country boys that are in the service, because we have a sense of duty and a sense of patriotism. But, you can get yourself into a situation where what we view, which is a good, godly, healthy choice, if we're going to be ruled by the masses, it isn't going to work because we're getting to where there's more that think, they think wrong. I don't care. I'm right. They're wrong. So we didn't want we wanted a republic. The founders wanted a republic. They wanted it to be ruled by the representatives of the people. The thought was, okay, if y'all are godly people, you're going to elect godly, virtuous leaders, and those virtuous leaders then are going to go and represent you at Congress. That's the whole principle. Never had been like that. And if the leader doesn't represent you, get him out and put somebody in that would. But the power remained with the people. This was a strange thing. It just came when they came to it, they argued and argued and argued. The people, you got to understand, when you go back and you study the formation of America, it would have been so easy to flip and be a different place. Because not all the people of that day all were in agreement. There was different ideas and different thoughts. Some people wanted literally to make George Washington a dictator. And they thought that would have been the best way. And Washington himself said, absolutely not. If you go and study George Washington's life, he is one of the most godly men that there ever was. He literally served as the president of the United States without pay because he said that you can't serve the country that you love. You can't serve it and be paid for it. Otherwise, I might be influenced by people. So he turned down his whole salary, which was only $25,000, but that was a lot of money in those days. $25,000, he turned down and said, no, I will serve because it's my duty as an American to serve, not because I'm getting paid. That was George Washington. He did things that he served for 8 years in the Continental Army without any pay. Okay. The 13th thing that they agreed upon was that a constitution had to be established. Okay? The constitution was supposed to be structured to permanently protect the people. Listen to me. This little bitty constitution right here. This is not about at all what the government can do. That's not the way it was written. This paper right here, this constitution, was written to protect you from the government. Look at the person beside you and say, man, that's good. I didn't know that. I'm telling you, this thing was not about just letting how the government should operate, you know, like it was just a set of... No, this Constitution is written to protect the people from the government because they knew the human frailties of mankind. Now, listen to me, folks. You can help yourself a whole lot by getting this principle down in your life. All right? People... Let me see, how can I clean this up? I don't want to clean it up. People are demonic by nature. You say, oh, I can't believe this. Let me just show you. If you're still in the book of James, go to James chapter 3. It says here in verse 14, but if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts. Do you think there's any self-seeking in Congress right now? Oh, surely not. You think there's self-seeking in Congress? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And do not boast and lie against the truth. You reckon there's any lying going on? This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. So wait a minute, there's two kinds of wisdoms then. There's a wisdom that comes from above that's godly, and then there's got to be, let's say it comes from heaven down to earth, and there's one that rises from beneath the earth up. And he says that kind of envy, that kind of bitterness, that kind of lying, that kind of backbiting, that kind of stabbing, that kind of, I think it's called politics, is demonic. He says it does not descend from God. It is not about what it is. It's not about self-seeking. It's about looking over the masses. And the founders knew that the Constitution, they had to have something in place to keep the government from ruling over the people and just taking the masses and turning it to way they wanted it to be. So the founder said, we've got to do something to protect the people from the government, so we're going to establish a constitution that says government can't do this. Now, today you hear in going on about the constitution needs to evolve. Anybody ever heard that? You heard that? The Constitution needs to evolve because it was written so long ago and it doesn't fit into society today, and it doesn't, you know, it was written by, I even heard this the other day, it was written by white farmers who don't know, are not in touch with the masses today. And I said, man, go look, they weren't all farmers. Anyway, I want to tell you something. The reason why the Constitution does not need to change is because the Constitution already is protecting you from the evil nature that's always in man, and that nature is not changed. They may try to tell you they've gotten better, and we're here to help you, and it's going to be changed, it's going to help you, and everything's going to be good. Let me tell you something. What nature of the evil nature of man? Man is formed from dirt. And the dirt that's in mankind is still dirt. And it's always going to be dirty, and it's always going to be ugly without a renewed spirit that's born again and knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and knows that they have to die and give an answer to God for their actions upon this earth. Folks, listen to me. The founders knew that if there was a virtuous godliness within the leaders, that they had to give an answer for what they were going to do to mankind, that they had to stand before God and give an answer. They knew that was the only thing that could possibly hold the evil nature that was within all human beings to upsert authority over somebody else. They knew that was the only thing that could hold them back, was knowing they had to answer to God. That's what this Constitution's about. It's to protect your rights, not give government the ability to do something. It's to keep government out, to keep man from ruling over you by their demonic thinking. Look at the person beside you and say, man, pastor's preaching hot today. It's fire. Okay. Y'all are looking at me funny, so let's go on. 14. Now listen to this. As I studied this out and I looked at it, I was probably the most moved by the 14th principle that they had. They believed, when they were talking about liberty, and they were always dealing with liberty and liberty and liberty. Today, the world, when you say, oh, we have liberty, they immediately think about how much ugliness or raunchiness can we do and still get away with it and not get thrown in jail? Am I right? It's not, it doesn't have anything to do with, well, I wanted to be a tomato farmer, but they told me I had to grow cucumbers. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It all has to do with how much, you know, let me use a term that's maybe a little more sophisticated. Debauchery can they get away with and not get thrown in jail? How can we get this and this and this and this legalized so it's okay for us to do it? Okay? But when the founders are writing the Constitution and looking at America, they said, listen, what people need is this. They need life, they need liberty, and they need the ability to secure the rights of their property. That's what man needs for happiness. That's what man needs to have joy. He needs to have the right to life. So that man is saying, listen, that guy, you know, he's from another tribe. He ain't no good. Shoot him. You need to have the right to life. You need to have a right to exist and the right to live and have life. The right to life. The right to have liberty. To be at your freedom, your choice of what you want to do and be in life. If you want to, see, like I said, I know this can be some, you know, whatever, controversial, whatever. I don't think it is in this place. It's just whoever listens to it over the radio. But it's tough. You know, Nancy Pelosi made a statement about this health care bill. And she said in the health care, about the health care bill, that she wanted to see a place that everybody who wanted to be in the liberal arts and wanted to be an artist or to be a writer, whatever, this, that they could do this without the fear of not their job, not having a good enough job, which gave them health care. Now, the first part of that is I'm for. I think everybody, if you wanna weave baskets on the side of the road, and that's what brings you joy, you want to go cut Johnson grass down, dry it, and do something with it. Glory to God. Peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. I don't care. I don't say, oh, that guy, he just weaves baskets on the side of the road. He ought to be a welder. That's a good job. That's a manly job. Welder. Pour concrete. You ought to get out there every day and pour concrete. Folks, I'm telling you, if you can make a living weaving baskets, and you sit in the air conditioner all day and that brings you joy, glory to God, hallelujah, and peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. So what? That's what it was about, liberty. And if you just love to pour concrete, then glory to God, pour concrete. I I got these guys that tie steel. Now, if you tie steel in foundations, you tough. I don't care who you are. You tough. And these guys will throw a bundle of, you know, like say maybe 25 half-inch, 20-foot-long pieces of rebar up on their shoulders and carry them out across the pad, just chunking them off like it's nothing. I just look at it, I cringe to just think of that up on my shoulder. I mean, I hurt when I just watch them work. And when the day's over with, they got a smile on their face. They just love to do what they do. That's what they do, man. They're rod busters. Doesn't make any difference. So I look at it and say, I don't want to do that. If that's what they want to do, then that's what liberty's about. Having the ability and the right and the privilege to go and do it. And the third thing that they were so important about, that they were so hard, then you have the right to protect what's yours. That's why they said that you have the right to keep and bear arms, because you have the right to protect what's yours. That somebody just can't come in there and take it from you. This was what was at the core of the founders. It was they looked at it as the essential needs of man. In the Old Testament, the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, it says, what does God require of man but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with his God? Pretty simple. The founders looked at something pretty simple. What should man do? What do we want America to be? What do we want America to be? A place where government can't control the people and people have the liberty to do what they want to do with their self, earn what they want to, and then protect what they've earned. But nowadays they're telling me that I can't do what I want to do because I got to take what I want to do and give it to that one over there that don't want to do nothing. And something's wrong with that whole idea. And they're saying, well, we got to do that because, you know, they have liberties too. Yeah, they got liberties to get out and work like I am. It's the truth. The 15th principle was, is they wanted a free market system. Listen to me. They wanted a free market system. You can write these down. You need to write these down. These are the four principles of their free market system. Okay, this was their economy, their economics of founding America. Everyone needs to have the freedom to try. That was the first point. The second one is they need to have the freedom to buy. The third was they need to have the freedom to sell. And the fourth principle was they need to have a freedom to fail. That's their free market system. Can you imagine coming together, these men of wisdom all over the place, praying about what to do? And they said, okay, let's get us an economic principle here, economic policy. Let's get in here. Okay, what are we going to do? Well, we need to have, everybody needs to be have the right to at least try. Write that one down. I like that one. That's a good one. Well, you need to have the right to buy so that they can turn it around and sell it, buy wholesale, sell retail. All right. Oh, okay, they need to have the right to sell, to have freedom to sell however they want to. They want to go stand on the street corner and sell, or have a big mini mall. Don't make no difference. And then everybody's got to have the right to fail. Somewhere today, we've lost the right to fail. They don't want anybody to fail. Oh, you can't fail. We need to help this one. We need to help that. We need to help this and this and that one, this and whatever. Folks, listen to me. Sometimes failing's good. Now, I am not the great economist in the world. I just believe in godly wisdom, and I believe in the Constitution, and I believe in what the founders set up. We should have let every bank fail. I mean, this is thus saith Robert. It's not, yea, hey, thus saith God. I'm just telling you. I don't understand why they ain't nobody going to help me out. Y'all just open a restaurant. You own that restaurant and you're selling great food and you sell that thing. But if it fails, it's going to fall on y'all. Isn't that right? I mean, it's yours. You did it. You took your money. You invested. You believed. You took the right to try. Thank God we live in a place you got the right to try. If you wanted to serve Yiddish food, that may not be the best marketing idea, but you have the right to do it. You want to have a complete Yiddish menu. You could do it. Because we live in America, and you have the right to try. You have the right to buy it, you have the right to sell it, and you have the right to fail. Having the right to fail gives you the right to succeed. So you catch a niche that just nobody else caught, nobody else thought of. And if you do start selling Yiddish food and get done, that was God, and I at least get 10%. But if you find that niche and you make it and you succeed, glory to God, because it fell upon a free market system. You did it, and it's yours. It's a godly right to... God never said it. He says, I give you the power, Deuteronomy 8:18, to make wealth. I give it to you. God says that. But all of a sudden now we have... I'm trying to get this through y'all's brain, how far the government's out of control this morning because I'm telling you, now they're telling you, you don't have the power to make wealth anymore. They have the power to take wealth from you. You can only make so much wealth. That's not a godly principle. So I know, I determine, I look at what's going on. I know what the Bible says. I know what the Word says. I know what godly wisdom is. I look at this and say, that's not godly wisdom. You can't take what I got and give it to somebody else and take my prosperity and put it over there and say that's a good principle. It's not going to work because I know it's not of God. If it's not of God, it's going to fail. Hello. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, Jesus himself told a parable. He said, we gave one guy 10 talents, one guy 5 talents, and one guy 1 talent. And told him to go out and use it. And I'm going to go off and I'm going to come back. When I come back, we'll see what you got. The guy that had 10 talents got 10 more talents. Wicked, evil, prosper. Doubled his money. The guy that had 5 got 5 more. And the guy that had 1 said, I don't know if I want to do it. I'm scared I might lose my 1. So he went and hit it. Jesus rebuked that man. And if you go read the story, look at it, basically said he's going to end up in where the unbelievers are. Because he didn't even trust him to prosper. God isn't no communist. God is a capitalist. Hey, I'm just reading what the squirt. I'm just putting it together. I'm just looking for the godly wisdom. He gave a guy 10 talents and said, go use it. He made 10 more, and Jesus did not rebuke the man. Matter of fact, he said, you did so well, I'm going to give you 10 cities to rule over. So the man's prosperity had something correlated with eternity and said, what you did, you prospered, and I'm going to prosper your prosperity. He rewarded the man for prospering, not took from him because he did evilly prosper. You see, folks, you got to watch it. In today's world, we're going along with this spin, and everybody's saying, oh, this is what we need to do. And they can put a twist on it so that it may seem like, well, you know, there are poor people and they do need help. I'll get to that point in a minute. I do agree with that. And there are people who do need help, but they need to be taught how to prosper. And there's nothing going to help them except educating them and teaching them how to prosper. Because as soon as you finish eating the bowl of rice you have in front of you, if you don't know how to get another bowl of rice, you're going to go hungry again. Amen. So all you have to do is look at what's going on. I'm shocked. I just can't wait for the memo to come to me. I am going to have a heyday with it. But, you know, I'm hearing reports of that the government is actually, you know, trying to get churches and pastors involved in talking about social issues and trying to get people over to this collective salvation and all this, you know, hoorah. And like they're passing it out, trying to tell them how to preach. And I'm like, man, send me something, please. Any pastor that's worth his weight in salt ought to be able to look at any of that and say, that's not biblical. That's not the godly principle. But if you don't know God, then you're not going to know what's going on. Amen. And it sounds good on the outside, but it's not God. Y'all remember the story? You remember the story? I think Ivan told it. I think it was Ivan. And it was a true story. It happened in Houston about the lady whose husband had passed away, and she was lonely, and her and her husband had a pet python snake. Y'all remember this story? This is a true story. And she was lonely for her husband and the loss of her husband and all. And so she got the snake and started putting the snake in bed with her at night. So she could have something, you know, that would bring her comfort because of the loss of her husband. And she got worried about the snake. And the snake, how many of y'all, so let's see, I want to find out, who hasn't heard this one? Raise your hand. Because they all the ones, okay, I'll preach over towards y'all. And so, because some of y'all are looking at me like you're already, I already see your lips moving, you're finishing my story for me. So I got to find the ones who haven't heard. And so the snake, she thought it was sick because it kept stretching out. And next to her in the bed, it was stretching out long. It was laying long. It wasn't coiling up. And it was looking, acting different than it had acted before. And so she took it to a veterinarian and said, there's something wrong with my python because he at night he's sleeping completely stretched out long. And he's never done this before. And so, of course, the vet didn't know anything about it. And he said, I don't really know. But, you know, let me do some research and take the snake home. And let me do some research and see what I can do. So finally, one day, the guy calls the lady up and said, man, get away from the snake. Get away from the snake. She says, wow, what's the matter with the snake? And he says, I need to talk to you. This is serious. He said, I've been studying pythons. And what the python is doing is the python is measuring you. Because he is going to eat you, and he's trying to lengthen his body, and he's measuring you off to see how you will fit in him. He's sizing you up to eat you. Some things may seem like it's good on the cover. Oh, we just want to get some comfort from my friend, the snake. This is all for good, to help everyone. We want to do this to help all humanity. We want to do this for the world. It's all good. You better watch it, just sizing you up to eat you. And the only thing I can say, whoo, this is good. The only thing I can say is it's time for us to make ourselves as big as we possibly can and say, you're going to eat me? You're going to have to digest big. Huh? You got a lot to swallow, Mr. Snake. I'm going down this way, man. Now to say that the founders knew that there was some places for government to be involved in business. Now, the first one was is they wanted to make sure that there was no illegal force onto the people to buy and sell. There's no extortion going on. And forcing people to buy and sell. That's one of the plans that government's supposed to be involved in. That people come up, HEB comes up. I need to nix that, not HEB. A grocery store comes up and says, you know, you're going to buy groceries from us. And if you don't, you know, well, we're going to get you. Government should be involved in that to say, you can't do that. Government should be involved in fraud. Fraud cases, things that are out there being perpetrated upon the public that's not right. They should be involved in fraud. They should be involved in monopolies because monopolies eliminate competition. And competition is what makes a free market system work. And the fourth thing is that they need to be involved in the things that are what that big word I used a while ago, debauchery. Things that undermine the moral fiber of this nation. You know, that time there was I don't even know what they do now. You know why they rate picture shows? You know, like you have movies that come out and they're G's or PG's or PG-13s, whatever. Because they're supposed to be an organization that is not supposed to let filth and smut get put out to the world to undermine the moral fiber of America. That's worked well, hadn't it? The only thing that government did not get it put in place, I mean the founders did not get it put in place in all the things that went on in the government, this is what really shocked me. Was the banking system. They didn't get in what they wanted. They fought amongst themselves and fought amongst themselves and fought amongst themselves to get in a banking system that was a banking system that would be controlled by Congress and that the money that would be issued not be paper money, it would be gold coins or silver coins that had value to them, and that the economy would be based upon wealth, not debt. Now, do you think God bases his economy on wealth or debt? He owns the earth and all the fullness thereof, right? He has the cattle on 1,000 hills. God bases his economy, upon wealth, not debt. God says if you have wealth, then you can, I'll bless you. You sow, you give, it prospers, comes back to you. I'll multiply the wealth. Everything that you measure out, I'll measure back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's God's principle. But that didn't happen because the bankers of Europe came in, and they came into to America and said, look, your guys are not going to function. You've got to stop. You're not going to make it this way. It won't work. You need to have a banking system that's based upon paper money. And it's based upon what they call fractional banking. Fractional banking means that they do not have all the assets sitting in a vault to back up what money they're loaning. They said, look, you can go farther. You can go. You can do more if you don't base your system upon wealth. If you base your system upon fractional banking, you can do more and you can expand more because you're actually loaning money out there, but it's good. And as long as everything in the system works and nothing falls and nothing gets out of whack, well, then everything will work right and it'll be okay. I'm a young man, 49 years old as of yesterday, and I've seen it twice. I've lived through the 80s, boom and bust, and now I've lived through this one. I've seen it twice in my own short life because it doesn't work. It's all based upon debt. It's like the founders knew this, but they could not make it. That's why we do have gold coins and silver coins that did come out because they always toyed with it, always tried to get it to work. But the European bankers would not allow it to happen. Now, 16. The 16th principle was that the government is supposed to be separated into three branches of government. There's one system, one branch going to have absolute power. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 is a godly principle because it says a threefold cord is seldom broken. It was based upon a godly principle that you would have your legislative, your executive, and your judicial branches. Each one of them holding the other one in checks and balances to see that everything would work properly. Now, this has never been ever put into practice except here in America. It's not something they said, well, let's do it like the French do it, or let's do it like the English do it, or let's do it like, you know, they do over in Africa or whatever. They didn't. No. It was a system that had never been put into play until 234 years ago, 32 years ago. Never been put into play. You see how original America is? You see how much wisdom came from God into these men's lives to make this and put this all together that no one ever even had thought of? They said, look, we got to do something, and that's the 17th point. We've got to have a system of checks and balances on everybody. We're going to set this thing up. We're going to have the House that has checks upon the Senate, and the Senate's going to have houses upon the check, and that's going to keep Congress going. And then we have the president over here, and he's doing this, and we have the judicial branch over here doing this. And I've got a bunch of these. You can read them in the notes. I wrote down every one, that 18 of them, to keep the people all in checks and balances. Now, something I want you to know, I want you to understand. Since the formation of America and since the formation of the Constitution, it has always been trying to be undermined. All right? It's not like all of a sudden everybody just got crazy and wicked and wanted to do it. It has always been there. Do you know that used to be prior to 1913? See, we don't know about this much in our life. There's nobody here born before 1913, right? Prior to 1913, the public did not elect senators. Senators were not elected by public vote. Prior to 1913, senators were elected by the state congresses or the state legislatives. You say, well, that doesn't seem like a very big deal. Well, wait a minute. You think about this. If you're a senator and you want to be reelected, and you know it's by popular vote, then who are you going to try to manipulate to get your vote? the public, right? But if you're elected by the state legislators, then it's not the public that you have to worry about, it's the state you have to worry about. What happened in 1913 when they put in the 17th Amendment to the Constitution, which says it's going to be by public vote, it sounded so good. Let all the people elect the state, the senators. But what it did is it took power away from the individual states. Because before, Texas was represented by a person who the Texas legislature had sent to Washington. So therefore, they only had one thing in mind: keep Texas strong. What I'm saying is these things have been happening forever. This is not something new. Don't think that what we see happening today is brand new. It's just in your face more than it ever has been before. Maybe it's because of media. You know, maybe it's because of the days that we live right now that, you know, you can have, you know, I mean, my gosh, you can watch TV on your phone. I can barely even figure out how to get on the internet on my phone, but there's people who do. You with me? Maybe that's the reason why we see it more. I don't know. But it's just in your face today, and it's like, what I'm alarmed about is like, we don't care that you know what we're doing. We're going to do it anyway. That's the attitude I don't really care too much for. The 18th principle was, is they wanted a written constitution. They said, did you know this? Do you know this? The Romans did not have a written constitution. The Greeks, no written constitution. Do you know, if there's nothing written down, it's kind of hard to know what's going on. When the Constitution was written down, they wanted it written down. Now, Habakkuk 2:2 says in the Old Testament, God said, listen, take the vision, write it down so the people can read it and see what's going on. That's kind of a paraphrase, but it's close. So they wanted the Constitution written. The 19th point of this whole thing that the founders had was they wanted to make sure it was written, and they wanted to make sure that it had limited the powers of government. They wanted to make sure that the government was in check, not the people. Don't let anybody tell you that the Constitution was written to keep the people in line. The Constitution is written to keep the government in line. So every time you hear somebody saying, well, the Constitution, that's an old outdated thing, just right then know that somebody's trying to rip you off. Because it's only about your protection. Well, we need to expand it. No, we don't need to do nothing. You need to leave it alone. Matter of fact, you need to go and take some of the amendments and get rid of them, get them back to more of the original so that we can be protected from you. If you're, I don't care how good of a rattlesnake wrangler you may think you are. That snake goes, his only intention is to bite you and to kill you. You don't walk up to the snake and say, oh, look, there's a rattlesnake out there in the front yard. Let's catch it and see if we can tame it. You see a baby fawn? Yeah, maybe. You see a snake? Let's get a baby snake and raise it. He'll make it a pet. A rattler. Yeah, he'll bite you. Anytime you see anybody messing with the Constitution, just know they're trying to get you. They're trying to get you. They wanted the powers of government to be limited. And then verse 20. The 20th one was they wanted to make sure that the Constitution would always protect the minorities. Now listen to me. That sounds so funny because it's so misused today. They knew that when the floodgates of America were open, that people were going to want to come in from every country and of every walk of life to be here. My family included, 6 generations ago, came from Germany. They knew they were going to flood into America as a place like no other place in the world, and that there was going to be freedom and liberty to do whatever a man wanted to do. But remember, it's the freedom to succeed or the freedom to fail. But they wanted to make sure that minorities wouldn't come in. There wouldn't be one group of people that they were Irish or Polish or German or Italian or whatever that would come in, and that group of people would not be able to walk in the same liberties that everybody else had. Listen to me. It was not about giving to them because the poor things couldn't make it. It was about giving them the liberty to succeed. We just passed the bill to extend unemployment benefits. I believe people that are truly unemployed need help. We need help. But I'm telling you what, I've seen it in Christianity. They're called rice Christians. We did it in Mexico for years. We'd carry food and supplies down to the villages that were hungry. And we would feed them and we would take food in there. And we kept doing more. We kept making it better. And we kept getting better. And before long, the people said, well, what do we need to work? Those crazy Christians are going to show up. Just tell them you're a Christian. And they're going to give you food and everything's going to be okay. And we called them rice Christians because they would do anything. They'd open in prayer as long as they knew they were getting food. But when we left, that wasn't what was in their hearts. And we found out after a while that what we were really doing was hurting the people, not helping the people. We were actually handicapping them, not blessing them. That we had to teach them how to prosper, we had to teach them how to succeed, we had to teach them how to use the godly principles that the Bible had and teach them how to give and to be blessings and to love and to walk in mercy and all those things so that the principles of God could work in their lives so that they could be blessed. Folks, I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing when you start to look at minorities as, well, we've got to help them. Every time the government helps somebody like that, it's hurting them. Why don't they understand we need to make something that has jobs? I love it that the all of the South is screaming right now, we don't want BP's money, we want to work. I'm like, yeah, that's it. The free market system. We want to earn our money, not just get it given to us. That's the spirit of America. They knew this. They wanted to make sure that they were protected. They were protected under the laws and everything was going to be right. They wanted to also, the 21st was to make sure that we had a strong local self-government. That all of us, we were working. That we had a federal government for defense and foreign relations, that we had a state government for civil rights, laws, and police and administration. We had county government for our local concerns, and we had townships and the townships and their best interests and what was going on. They wanted to make sure there wasn't anarchy just taking place, that there was rule being put into place for people to follow, which takes me to the 22nd one. They wanted to make sure that all the laws must be written and established. Like I said, I am not a great economist. I'm not a whatever. But when they put a 2,400-page health care bill up and nobody's read it and we're going to pass it to find out what's in it, what? What? Who operates like that? Where's Will? Will, in your store, some salesman comes in and says, I got this box. I'm going to sell it to you, and it's going to be great. And you can sell it, and your business is going to prosper. All you got to do is give me $200, and what's in this box? It's yours. And you say, well, what's in the box? I can't tell you. We don't really know, but I'm telling you, it's good. It's good. It's good for you. You're going to say, get out of here, you crazy fool. And they say, oh, this is the way it should be. The founder said, listen, no law is going to be passed unless it is written and it is established. Because we're not going to have people going out to the whims of man, changing the laws and doing whatever they want to suit them. Today, we're in a system of trying to figure out how far you can bend the law without breaking it. We have professionals who do nothing but study the bending of the law. This is a quote by James Madison. He said, it will be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their own choice. If the laws are so that they cannot be read, are so incoherent that they cannot be understood, if they have been repealed or revised before they can be put in place or undergo such incessant changes that no man who knows what the law is today can guess what it will be tomorrow. The law is defined to be rule of action, but how can that be rule which is little known and less fixed? James Madison said that in 1812. Does that apply to that health care bill? Hey, did any of y'all go on the internet and try to read the healthcare bill? It's foolishness. It's absolute foolishness. It's just written in gibber lingo. They say, well, that's the way we do it. Pfft. What happened to write it down? It's like us living under the rule of law enforcement today that sets the speed limit by the day how they feel when they wake up that morning. So if they feel like today's a fast day, let's say anybody goes over 85, we'll stop them. And tomorrow they're like really grumpy. Okay, anybody goes over 45, we're ticketing them. We'd never know what the rule was. Well, how can you know what the rule is when people are making laws for us and we don't even know what they say? Nobody can read them. Nobody understands it. And they're passing laws that are not even read. Come on, folks. Remember the snake? You ain't going to tame it. Whoever wrote that thing, I don't trust them a bit. Somebody said, they keep screaming, well, the Republicans, and like I said, this message, I'm not trying to get Republican, Democrat. I'm just telling you, the Democrats are screaming, the Republicans just saying no to everything. I'm saying no to everything. I don't care who does it. Republicans or Democrats. This is ridiculous. Because I don't trust any of them. They're all totally and completely out of control. They need to be taken behind the woodshed and spanked. Amen. Amen. I saw something and I did not believe it. I've got to go back and find it. It was an email and it said, which is this fax about? The NBA or Congress? Did y'all ever see that? And it went through this horrible a deal of how many of them were, you know, for all kinds of charges against them. And I mean, wickedness it went through there. And at the end of it, it says, this is your Congress. And I'm like, what? You mean to tell me those are the people that are representing us that have done that? Something's wrong. It's not right. You've got to have laws that we can understand, laws that we can read. The 23rd point was, is they wanted to make sure that America had a good educational system, because they believed in two things. One is they believe that if we weren't educated to read what the law said, then that they would take advantage of us. You got to understand something. Everything the founding fathers did, they did knowing that government was going to try to take over you. Everything was about that. It was just trying to keep the government from hurting the people and let the people have liberty, but not anarchy. And find that balance between. And they said they got to be a good educational program. And it's got to be, they set this in the early foundings, that a town that had 50 people in it had to provide an elementary school that taught them how to read, write, and arithmetic, all the basics. It had to have an elementary school. And that I have a book coming. And here, hopefully it'll be in this next week, a book coming that was it was established in 1812 as an elementary reader about the Constitution. Had to be taught in elementary school, the Constitution. If a town had 100 people in it, it had to also provide secondary education. And it was to be paid for by the public. It had to be paid for by the public. So if you lived in the town, everybody had to agree, that's what it's going to be. Do you know the most important people in those days were the people that were on the school board? The highest quality of person was chosen to be on the school board because they had to watch the education of the children, because the second thing they believed in was that America, we had a manifest destiny. We had a destiny that was like no other nation that had ever been, that was manifesting and coming about, that we had to be smarter, we had to be brighter, we had to be more educated, we had to be something in this world, because we had a destiny by God to fulfill. But think about this. In 1962, when they took God out of public school, said God has no place here. Everything has begun to fall. Our SAT scores are at the lowest they've ever been. Everything is at the lowest they've ever been. Think about something. Folks, do you know that darkness cannot operate where there's light? If you turn a light on outside, a light bulb, on outside. Darkness, no matter how hard it works, cannot overcome that light bulb. If it burns out, then you got to get another one in there. Okay? But as long as it's on, darkness cannot win. When you take God out of school, when you take God out of our education system, you take God out of the investing into our children. I listen to them say, well, but that's just so complicated because we have all this problem. We have all these people with different beliefs and all this stuff like that. I already went over that the very first. 5 points. You had to believe in God. You had to believe that God was going to, that there was an end to life. And that you had to give an account to God of how you treated people. And you had to know that your fellow man was the most important, taking care of him. Everybody said, well, this is that. No, listen to me. You've got to have God in school. If you don't have God in school, darkness is going to come in. And if darkness comes in, no matter how smart you may be, no matter how great your liberal theology may be, I want to tell you something. You can say, oh, this is going to help everybody. It's going to be sorry. God ain't in it. Darkness is going to overcome because I'm smart enough to know right from wrong. You can argue all day long, well, if we do that, then we're going to offend this group, we're going to offend that. We may have to offend some people to get America back right. You say, well, that's just horrible, it's mean, that's racist. I ain't trying to be racist. I'm just telling you, I know what the truth is. Racist? Don't tell me racist. 6 generations ago, my family is speaking German. My grandmother spoke fluent German. I'm the first generation out of my ancestry that doesn't speak German. Because we lived in Texas and everybody changed over and our second language became Spanish. It's the truth. Don't tell me about racism. I'm talking about America. Listen to me, church. I'm talking about America. Americans. Americans are not a color. They're people who have a belief like the founders did and want to live in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's an American, not color. That's stupid. I am so sick of the race card being played every time we turn around. I want the American card to be played. If we're Americans, we're Americans. I don't care what color you are. I love like when Wynn's here and his little British English. And I say, I don't care, we're right. He said, we spoke it first. I said, I don't care. We're Americans. Why do you want to get here? You know, it's past the tomatoes. You know, tomatoes are tomato. I got to tell you this, and we'll have to put a little edit here. They like to fell completely out of their chair. We were eating hamburgers, and Laura said, no, we're talking about the men's fellowship. And she said, well, did y'all toast the buns? And I said, yeah, we had it all out. I mean, we had hamburgers. We toasted the buns and everything, and both of them just went, and I was like, what? And they said, oh, don't ever say that when you come to England that you toasted the buns. And I said, I was lost. I said, what are you talking about toasting the buns? He says, the buns, you're... And I said, well, you just got a dirty mind, all you English people are. Something wrong with y'all toasting the buns. But we're Americans, and we talk like this, and we act like this, and we speak like this, and we have a belief like this, and that's what makes Americans Americans. Y'all with me? But they had to be educated. John Adams, a quote from him, he said, liberty cannot be preserved without a general knowledge among the people. They have a right and an indisputable, unalienable, indivisible, divine right to the most dreaded and evil kind of knowledge. I mean, of the characters and conducts of their rulers. They said, if people aren't going to be smart enough to know that ruler's evil, then that our education program is no good. And who voted in what we got now? The younger generation. Because they're not taught. They don't know. The 24th thing, and I'm going to finish this up. Just y'all just hang on with me. The 24th part was they believe that we should have a strong national defense. That free people cannot stay strong without a strong national defense. A quote from George Washington, "To be prepared for war is most effective means of preserving peace." Benjamin Franklin, a quote from him, says, "One sword often keeps another in its scabbard." I like that one. The founder's policy was to keep peace through strength. People who live in liberty have to stay in liberty. And we have to have an ability to protect what's right and what's ours. The world hates us because of our liberty. The world hates us not because we're arrogant Americans. They hate us because we have liberty and we have freedom. They hate us because we have the confidence that we can do anything that we want to do. That's why the world hates us. The 25th thing was that we were to have friendship with nations, but never yield authority to one. We were to have friendship and trade with all nations, but not to get entangled with any alliances with any of them. Now, listen to this. The Swiss have maintained neutrality, okay, through two world wars. But Americans, listen to me. You got to get this, folks. Get this one. You'll understand why the founders would have cringed at all the things that our president's done with other dignitaries. America was to be separatist. We were supposed to be separate. We were supposed to stand aside. We were supposed to say, look, we're not going to function like y'all. Now, I'm probably getting in trouble on saying this. We were supposed to say, look, we're a little better than y'all because we got it figured out. We're listening to godly principles and we're going to run our country this way and we're not going to be influenced by you. Not only is one world government demonic in nature and what leads to the setup of the government of the Antichrist, but one world government was never meant to be in America because we were to be a separate nation. And we bowed to no one. They say, Americans, you're arrogant. No, we're separatists. You go do what you want to. We're going to do what we want to. You don't tread on us. We won't mess with you. There's a big difference. The Swiss say, oh, we're going to be neutral. Oh, you want to be like that? Okay, we'll be like that. Oh, we'll be like that. We're just neutral. We're not going to do anything, you know, no matter what. We're neutral. You can't be neutral. You can't be neutral. America was never called to be neutral. Texans aren't going to be neutral. We don't do good in neutral. You go nowhere in neutral. When you hear the word neutral to me, I mean, it's like not in reverse, not in drive, not even in park. You're in neutral. You're going to roll out of control somewhere. They believe, listen to me, they believe that this country was special, that there was a hand of God upon us, and that we had a destiny. So therefore, we could not get involved with anything else going on in these nations. We couldn't be friends with them in the sense that we allowed alliances with them, because if we showed favor to this one or showed favor to that one, then we had to ostracize this one or ostracize that one, and they were all fighting around over here. Now they said, no, we're going to pull out here and we're going to be Americans. We're going to be separatists. We're going to separate ourselves from the rest of y'all. And we're going to stand here, not arrogant. See, I mean, I'm just going to say it. Y'all just can write me a letter. The president's problem over a lot of them, but one of the things with his view of America is he doesn't believe America's special. He doesn't believe that we have a manifest destiny. He believes that we're just like any other people on the face of the earth. We just congregated all over here. He doesn't believe there's anything. He bows to rulers. He tries to make treaties and alliances with other countries, and he does not believe that America has a manifest destiny that's still working today. Folks, the world's not over with yet. And I believe that America has always been that place for the last 230 years. We've been there to be a great country, and we still have great things to do. It's not over with. But we got a president who keeps wanting to apologize for our arrogance. We're not arrogant. We're separatists. We just don't want to have anything to do with you. We don't think we're better than you. We just don't want to mess with you. You say, well, that just doesn't seem to be very right. Folks, when I got saved, And I determined in my life that I was going to change my life to live to the best that I could with a clean conscience before God. I lost a lot of my friends because they didn't want to go along with me. They wanted me to have one foot in Christianity and one foot in the world and to go both ways with them. And I said, look, guys, this is what I'm going to do. And I lost a lot of friends. America, we're not out to make friends. Folks, do you realize today, if America was not the nation that we are, what would happen? What would happen in the world? The only thing that keeps dictators from going in and just totally abolishing their countries is Americans. We're called to be separatists. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Anybody wants to come to America? Come on. Listen, I don't have any problem with immigration. I have a problem with illegal immigration. Because if you want to be an American, you need to be an American. I can't tell somebody today, oh, no, you can't apply for citizenship. My family did. How can I go back and look six generations back and say, oh, well, that was the times when we were here, but not, I mean, y'all can't do that now. I just want it to be done legally. I want it to be done right. I want them to come in there and say, yes, we believe in the American dream, and yes, this is what we want to do, and yes, we're Americans. I want everybody to be taught and educated and say, this is where we want to go. I got no problem with that. The 26th thing, and I'm finishing. I only have three more. 26th thing was they believed in the family unit. This is crazy. When I started research this, it just blew me away. This is one of the forefront things, even though, because I'm not doing these in any order, but it was one of the forefront things of the founders that they needed to keep a strong family unit, that the family needed to be protected. Makes sense. If you have a family, you have a father and a mother who are teaching their children godly principles, taking them and going to school and going to whatever, being educated and raising them up as virtuous people, that you're going to have a better society. The 27th one. I'm just telling you, I didn't make these up. 27th one was debt was the destruction of the nation. The nation to get, I did not pick this out. Now listen to me. I did not pick this out and say, I want to write this one in here because of where we're at right now. You hear the screaming about it, today. It's like I'm saying today in my own household, I have several credit cards. I don't know how many credit cards I've got. Maybe I've got four credit cards. Because you got to have the Cabela's Club card because I get points. And then you got to have the Continental Air Mile card so I can get some points there. So anyway, but if I was had one credit card maxed out, so I borrowed on the next credit card to pay off the max of that credit card and borrowed on the next credit card to pay off the max of the next credit card, and I kept doing that, after a while, y'all would say, Robert, you can't do that. You can't just keep borrowing more money and maxing out credit cards because that doesn't make any sense. You've got to have enough revenue coming in to make that pay. You have to watch it. You can't do that. Y'all would all stand up and tell me that. But today in our government, they say, well, let's do this. Yeah, let's do it. Print some more money. And you're like, where did it come from? Where did you get it? How did it come? Oh, we'll just tax the people. No, we're not going to tax people. Yeah, we're going to tax the people. Folks, you can't tax us and keep taxing us and keep taxing us to pay off. And I don't mind picking up the bar tab if it's my friends. But bless God when it's the whole bar and everybody just keeps ordering rounds of drinks because they want them. And I'm paying, I don't like that. Maybe that's a bad example, but it's the only one I can think of in a moment. In case you didn't know, yeah, I picked up a few bar tabs in my life, okay? But I'm just telling you, I'll buy my friends, but I ain't buying for the whole lot. And it don't make any sense when everybody's just doing what they want to, and I'm paying the ticket. They said involuntary servitude is a result of subjugation by conquest and succumbing to the bondage of debt. Debt makes you the servant to the lender, therefore giving up all of your liberties. Our president, in 4 years, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I guess I could get in trouble saying this. But our president, I believe, in 4 years, or in 2 more years, he'll be a one-term president. And I believe with all of my heart that then he's going to retire into some lavish luxury of lifestyle somewhere while we pay the debt. And I don't like that. That ain't right. That's not American. That's not American. That's not godly. And, you know, it ain't right. Debt is a killer. It makes you subject. The borrower is subject to the lender, is what Proverbs says. The last one, 28th one, you've heard me talk about this all through this message. But the founders believed in a manifest destiny. And I'm asking you, church, to begin to think about this country. I'm asking you to begin to study about America, to go back and maybe find some history books and read some stuff and look and find out the truth. Look at some things to find out the truth about this great nation that we live in. It's time for you to learn what the Constitution says. It's time for you to read the Declaration of Independence. It's time for you to teach your children and to rise up and to pray for this nation that we get back on track. Because I'm telling you, America is a special place, and we have a destiny by the hand of God upon us to do good things in this world. We've got to be the light in the midst of darkness. In our own recent times, who would have stopped Saddam? Who'd have done it? They said, well, we should have never gotten involved in the war. There wasn't any weapons of mass destruction over there. George Bush is a horrible person. And listen, I don't want to argue Bush politics, okay? But he said, that's a horrible thing. We should have done it. Oh, so we're going to let some crazy lunatic take over Kuwait and shoot Scud missiles at Israel, and we're going to sit back over here and just twiddle our thumbs? Yeah, remain neutral. I don't know what happened. I don't know how. I know if I'd have been president, I'd have been more cowboy than George Bush. But I believe if he would have just wrote Saddam a letter and said, we are going to come over there and we will take Baghdad in less than 50 days and we are going to stomp. You know where I'm going. In you like you ain't never seen, if you don't straighten up, boy, and fly right. I'd have given him that chance. You see, America can be a great place if we'll remain godly. Now, Americans, we don't always do that. And we've done some bad things in life. I know we've done some bad things in life. But it's been done because it hadn't been following the principle. It hadn't been following the outline. We've got people in government who get too much power and do whatever they want to. I'm down to the place where now I don't like anybody. I don't like anybody in any party of any, you know what I'm saying? I'm just mad. My feathers are ruffled over the whole lot of everything. I'm just trying to find somebody that will stand up and be godly. And I don't know how we can get America back on track without some hurt feelings. Because there's going to be all people screaming, wait a minute, what about this, what about this, what about this? I want to leave you with this thought. Jesus himself said, when the woman came and broke the alabaster box over Jesus, and the disciples said, they could have taken this money and they could have sold that thing, we could have given it to the poor, we could have done a good work. And Jesus turned to him and said, you know, the poor you're going to have with you always. We're always going to have some group in America who's not going to be functioning. That's just the way it is. No matter what you do, you could give them a house, you could give them all the money in the world, you could line them up, and they're still going to be in trouble. The answer is not a handout. The answer is to learn to make better choices. To educate, to give them options, to understand how everything's got to work and everything's got to function. You're talking to somebody here who came from dead broke. Oh, I had it and I lost it. And I was $1.3 million in debt. And I've worked 5 jobs for 20 years to get out of debt. In this great country called America that gave me a choice and ability to do what I want to. And if I choose in 24 hours in a day to work 20, that's my business. Thank God it's my choice. Thank God I have the ability to do it. If somebody's smarter and can work 2 and do what I did in 20, glory. Aren't you the wise one? Come lay hands on me and pray for me, please. And let me have some. I've always said my problem in life is I always try to figure out how to dig the post hole easier. And I'm just hung up on the post hole. While everybody else completes a computer chip that, you know, I'm like, oh, I just didn't know how to do it except hard work. All I'm saying is, I believe America, we have a manifest destiny. We cannot get to the place we need with that somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. I don't want to be the evil person. I don't want to be the ugly person. I'm not against anybody. I'm not a racist. I'm just telling you, Jesus himself said even the poor is going to be with you always. You can't fix all the situations overnight. But you have to start. You have to start somewhere. And you have to start with prayer. You have to start with looking at your own life. You have to start looking at wisdom. You have to start asking God to give you wisdom. You have to start by educating those around you. You have to start by knowing what is this great country. We have to start by regaining a sense of patriotism in this world and a place that we want to put our hands over our hearts and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And we want to pray and we're going to stand and fight and say, listen, you take God out of it, you're going to go down. We've got to come back to that place. We've got to come back to what it really means to be an American. And there'll be some hurt feelings, but we're going to have to pray and believe God is going to make it all work out. And that we can be the nation that has a destiny of God on us to be everything that God wants for us and be a great nation again. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please.